The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
I know this is probably not the most pressing story to impact our great nation, but every now and again, I come across an item that maybe should be, because we are in the throes of what I've been calling a culture war for many, many years now. And this this war on our culture is targeting every institution that we have. Now, I am not exactly a fan of the ballet, but I respect the art form. It's a very beautiful art form, and it takes a lot of talent. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of wherewithal to become a ballet dancer. It's a beautiful thing. As a matter of fact, I think the only time that I've ever been to the ballet was during the Christmas time when they do the Nutcracker. Is that yes? My staff is nodding. Yes, that's the one. So that's my knowledge. That's the extent. Aside from watching as a teenager Fame, the TV show, where the kids come running out of the school and start dancing on tops of cars and somewhere on the Upper West Side of New York City, that's about the extent of my knowledge of the ballet. There's an interesting story out of Princeton University, and this is a big deal. Princeton University has a ballet club, and the ballet club has unfortunately gone woke. So this has caused some angst among the conservatives in America, and many are writing about what happened. The Princeton Ballet Club has decided that ballet is white supremacy. It's an example of white supremacy. And I want to go through this this manifesto that the ballet club has written. It's almost 1,000 words. I will not read all 1,000 words of this this manifesto, but you need to hear what's happening at Princeton University. Now this is from the manifesto from the tights and tutu crowd, if you will, at Princeton. Ballet is rooted in white supremacy and perfectionism. We are all entering this space with a mindset that what we see as perfect is a white standard. So perfectionism is now a white standard, ladies and gentlemen. We aim to decolonize our practice of ballet. Even as ballet remains an imperialist, colonialist, and white supremacist art form. And they go on and on and on and on and on. So this is where it gets really interesting. They're very concerned because they say that that ballet dancers, having to have a ballet dancer who is a specific form and size, is a form of bigotry. And therefore, moving forward, they will no longer require their ballet dancers to be athletic or fit some sort of a mold that one would expect for a ballet dancer to be. Now, Grace Baker, I understand that you yourself used to be a ballet dancer.
I did for a very brief period of time.
Is that right?
So you
wore the tutu the whole nine yards.
I was a little tyke.
Is that right?
Yes.
And so cute. So when you were doing ballet, I have to imagine there was some physicality to it.
Yes, for sure. You know, you got to have balance, which I didn't have a lot of balance. You got to have coordination, which I didn't have a lot of coordination. And you had to work hard.
Well, I mean, it's like Dude Perfect. It's not like you're going out there just kind of jumping, leaping into the air. There's a process.
Yeah, and you have to be very fit to do a lot of the things that the experts
and I have to imagine very, you know, you have to be a certain body type. You know, you have to be thin.
Yeah, well, it just kind of comes with the territory because, you know, if you are doing those moves on a daily basis, you're more than likely going to be fairly thin and muscular. That just kind of comes with the practice.
Well, not at Princeton, because now, I mean, I'm very concerned about the male dancers. By the way, they have a big problem with white male dancers in the ballet. So that's a big no-no. But any white male, look, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're a male dancer and you've got to, like, hoist up a 300-pound ballerina into the air, because that's what's going to happen, right? Because you can't have, I mean, what is the average weight of a ballerina? What, 115 pounds?
Roughly.
120? I mean, they're not very large. They're like the fashion models. They eat beans.
Oh, yeah. They got to be string beans.
Morsels.
And the guys, I mean, they're very muscular, but they're typically shorter and small because that just fits the criteria of the sport.
Well,
sport practice, whatever
you want to call it. Well, of course. But still, I mean, if you're a muscular guy, I mean, being able to throw, you know, let's just say 250, that's a 200-pound girl.
Yeah.
That's a sturdy ballerina.
I mean, okay, so I just looked it up. Actually, the average female ballerina weighs 85 to 130 pounds.
Wow. So these are like, I mean, you know, what's the Olsen twins from, Full House? The anorexic kids. They just look emaciated.
Yeah.
They look like they come from some sort of,
Runners look that way too, I've noticed.
You know, like third world country.
Yeah. Hardcore runners are like that too. They're like this bigger. They're just like a toothpick.
They don't look healthy.
Not typically.
That's the issue.
And again, they're typically, the girls are like around 5 feet, 2 inches tall,
yeah.
Really short.
Yeah, exactly. So all that to say, there's a process. It's not like, okay, we're just going to have skinny people. No, there's a reason for that. Because you know what, the poor guys, how old are the male ballet dancers? And there's a word for that, and I can't remember what it is.
How old?
The male ballet dancers are, what, 18 years old, 19?
Yeah. Late teens, early 20s, maybe.
You don't want them throwing out a hernia. You know, you don't want to get a hernia.
No.
I mean, you throw out your back.
Gosh.
I mean
these aren't, we're going to have some rugby players up there or something.
Maybe
you know, some helmets.
Maybe you need two male dancers to hoist. You know, it's like throw them up in the air.
It's just, you know, they can say this all they want, but I don't think they're going to have giant men and women walking in to play ballet because they're just not going to be able to do the moves.
No, it's
not
physically
happen.
Impossible.
That's what I'm saying. It's just not even going to.
So here's where we are
it's
now.
It's a non-issue.
So here's where we are now in America. Ballet is now racist. I mean, that's the whole point of this. Ballet is racist. For you to go out there and say, okay, you've got to do this perfectly, that is a racist concept now. That is what we're talking about. That's what's happening here. So, and it's not just ballet. There's a story up at Campus Reform, and Campus Reform is now reporting that one math professor is no longer going to be grading work based on whether it is right or wrong. Now, I just want to, look, I'm not an architect, but I appreciate architects. I appreciate the great work they do. Now, imagine, if you will, here in Memphis, Tennessee, we have a giant bridge across our river called the Mississippi River Bridge, Hernando de Soto Bridge. Do you know an architect, that bridge just didn't happen. There was math and science that went into the creation of that bridge. And believe it or not, folks, it had to be down to the exact decimal point. Otherwise, you're going to get a bridge that doesn't work. Now, there are some people out there who are listening to this program, and they are woke, and they're sitting there saying, well, Todd, you're just being rude. That's just rude. How dare you suggest that something should be perfect? No, I'm not suggesting. I'm telling you. if you don't follow the math, you're going to have a bridge that does not work. If you don't do the math, you're going to go to Walmart and your cashier is not going to know how to give you change. It's a very practical thing. When I was growing up at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School in South Haven, Mississippi, we were taught very basic stuff. We didn't have to worry about pronouns when I was growing up because the kids were smart. Back when I was growing up, the kids were fairly intelligent. They knew what their, by nature, they knew what their pronouns were. Nowadays, they've got to spend 12 years teaching kids to be confused about their pronouns. They spend all this time teaching the kids about whether they are gay or straight or they like bushes or shrubberies. I don't know. There's all sorts of chaos in the classroom. And nobody in America seems to be terribly concerned. We're raising a generation of people that cannot spell, they cannot read, they cannot do basic arithmetic. They don't care. They just don't care. It is the dumbing down of America. That's what this is. Rod Dreher, writing on the American Conservative, and has a wonderful, wonderful essay called Hateful Whitey Binds Her Feet. And it's about this situation at Princeton University. Understand this. The people in charge of the Princeton Ballet Club, they hate America. They hate ballet. They hate beauty. They hate art. Everything in America now is being reduced to race. Everything. Want to go to the NFL? Want to enjoy a football game? We all saw what happened. It wasn't about the football game anymore. It was about race. It was about hating America. It was about hating the beauty of the game. By the way, there's a big argument right now in the NFL, a huge fight. We don't have enough black coaches. We need more black coaches. We need parity. There needs to be, there are this many people that are in the country that are black, and we need this many black coaches. Okay, fine. You want to go with percentages? Is that what you, yes, that's what we want. If you have 10% of the country that's black, we should have 10% of the coaches that are black. That's what you want. I mean, all the activists are out. That's what they're saying. They want to go by the percentages. Okay, fine. Well, if that's the case, what percentage of the country is white? Therefore, if you're going to go down that path, should not the players be representative and reflect the culture of the country as well and those percentages? I mean, if you're going to go down that path. You see, I'm old school, and I know this is a racist concept, what I'm about to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, but I come from old school America, where you always wanted the best person for the job, no matter what the color of their skin was. I know that's a racist, I know, but I'm just a saltine American. I'm just a regular old cracker, and that's the way I see things. If you're the best person for the job and you're black, then that's great. Or if you're Asian American, that's great. That skin color doesn't matter to me. And I don't think it really matters to most of America. But it matters at Princeton University. It matters in the NFL now. It matters in that math class where the professor says, you know what, it doesn't. All that matters is that you tried. This is what the participation trophy generation has wrought on America. And you ought to be afraid driving across a bridge in America because you have no idea if the person who designed that bridge failed math class, but in actuality got an A+. We're having that discussion right now on the Supreme Court. It's not about an overwhelming, and look, this is the minority opinion is actually ruling here because the majority of Americans, black and white, believe that you should have the best person for the job on the Supreme Court, that you should not just limit yourself to one demographic of people. And that's an overwhelming majority of America, and that is somewhat hopeful to me. But ultimately, folks, this is about the dumbing down of our nation. This is about taking away the beauty and the joy. I mean, that's really what football is, right? It's an escape. It's the joy of the game, watching the beauty of the game. It's beyond the X's and the O's. I mean, it's the pageantry. It's the fans and the stands. It's the whole experience. And yet the left wants to take that away from us. That was the whole issue with Colin Kaepernick. That was the whole idea around the taking a knee during the national anthem. And that's what's happening at Princeton. They're taking the joy. They're sucking the life, the joy out of the dance. And now all that's left is race. Because they know that's what divides us. That's what will destroy us. And they know that. You see, the left wants to dumb down our nation because stupid people are easier to control. And right now, we're raising up a generation of stupid people. You can see it for yourself out there. And look, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstearns.com. All sorts of great information there. We got a lot of great guests coming up. Megan Basham from the Daily Wire is going to be here. Congressman Chip Roy. Folks, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to your calls as well. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Stearns.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
I heard about this this spice company called Penzies. There's a Penzies franchise here in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a Wisconsin based spice company, and apparently the owner is a far leftist, a guy by the name of Bill Penzies, and he's in hot water. I remember this guy. This is not the first time he's really said something stupid. But this guy is a far leftist, and he really gets his jollies by attacking Republicans. Anyway, he said that Martin Luther King Jr. weekend should be renamed Republicans Are Racist Weekend. He also said that conservatives fantasize about killing black people. So the guy puts these comments out there, and it's a subscription-based service. So you sign up. And then every month, it's kind of like the Fruit of the Month Club. Remember those back in the day? And so you would always get like a crate of grapefruit, and nobody in the family eats the grapefruit. And so it just sits there, and then you get the fruit flies, and then the next supply comes, and it's like, I don't know, kumquats, and nobody knows what's, and you're like, who signed me up for the Fruit of the Month Club? So I think it's the same thing here with Penzies, except it's spices. And so anyway, they have all these subscribers. And so Mr. Penzies comes out, and now he's all upset because he can't figure out why 40,000 people just canceled their subscriptions. Again, not the sharpest tool in the shed, this one. So anyway, more than 40,000 of his customers have canceled their subscriptions to his spice company. And former Governor Scott Walker, our good buddy over at Young America's Foundation, says that, hey, you know what? If you're a conservative, you just need to go ahead and you need to boycott this guy. I've never shopped at Penzies. I always get mine at the Kroger, the spices. But they've got all sorts of stuff over there. And Penzies, look, the guy is proud of his liberalism. By the way, it's... The prices, you know, I've never really even checked the prices, you know, at Kroger, but they're charging like $10 for like a jar of spice. I just rather get the McCormick's. I don't know their politics, but it's pretty good spice. You know, you got the cayenne pepper, the red pepper flakes, a little salt, a little black pepper. That's all you need. Some garlic powder, maybe. There you go. Anyway, what is it? The Bible? The Bible said something about that, right? When the salt loses its saltiness, it's not any good anymore. There you go, Mr. Pinsey. Good luck to you. What a loser. All right, 844-747-8868. You know, somebody probably poured salt instead of sugar into the guy's coffee, and it, you know, maybe just had a bad day. Hey, we'll be right back, America. So how much money are you paying in interest on your credit cards every month? Are you paying too much? Well, then why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? That's right. You can pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. So here's what I want you to do. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/freedom. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/freedom. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/freedom for more information.
Everybody,
you know, Grace, we were talking about this earlier. You know, there are just some weeks where there's a lot going on, but there's not a lot going on, and you're just kind of like, you know, I mean, you got the genocide games about to kick off in China.
Oh, ouch.
That's about it.
Yeah, there's not much going on.
No, I mean, you've got the, I mean, there's, we do have some great video up on toddstearns.com. This, believe it or not, is our biggest story of the day, and I'm not quite sure why. Have you been to the Golden Corral lately?
Not in a long time.
So, you know, I remember that back in the day. I mean, it would be these massive buffets.
Yes.
And I don't, are people even doing buffets anymore?
Not really, especially because of COVID.
You see, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But the Golden Corral apparently has the buffet back. And, you know, the buffet...
Okay.
Here's what I never understood about Golden Corral. It was basically a steakhouse, right?
Yeah.
So why would you go to the Golden Corral just for the buffet and not for the steak?
Fair point.
I mean, seriously. I mean, cause
yeah.
I guess what is popular, they got the, they'll have like spaghetti and
yeah.
the drumettes, you know, with the little breading. And
I remember they had cotton candy you could have for dessert.
Cotton candy?
I just remember that specifically.
So this Golden Corral apparently had steak on the menu.
Mm.
And the according to the local police reports, so I'm just getting some breaking text messages here from our good pal, Noah Britt, who heads up our great affiliate, WPMO, down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, where the squirrel went berserk. Says, I go to the Golden Corral every week, Todd. Have for months. No more cotton candy. Sorry, Grace.
Aww.
Well, you know, that had to change it up, I guess.
Yeah. That was unique, though.
It's kind of like at the Cracker Barrel, where they, yes. You know, you go there and you want the double chocolate fudge Coca-Cola cake, and then they don't have it because, you know, it's seasonal.
Disappointment. Or you go to McDonald's for the ice cream, it's always broken.
A brief aside here, and I don't know where we're going with this. A brief aside. Years ago, a Continental commuter jet crashed in Buffalo, New York, and Fox flew me up there like, you got to go cover the story. It was a horrible story. It was like, you know, 30 below zero. You know, it was miserable. Nobody survived, and it was just an awful, awful story.
Sure.
But Fox wanted me there, and they wanted me to fly in on a Continental jet, and I'm like, to hell with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I need to apologize. There's that salty language. We had a guy call in yesterday.
Oh, that's true. You better watch it.
So I said, forget that. I flew Delta. At least I knew I would get there in one piece.
Fair enough.
I land there, get a rental car, and I'm like, it is like a blizzard. And then I'm driving along trying to find some place for dinner, Grace, and then I saw a sign from heaven, Cracker Barrel. They had a Cracker Barrel in Buffalo, New York. A Cracker Barrel in Buffalo, New York.
And the heavens sang.
So I went in there and had dinner, and then for dessert, double fudge Coca-Cola cake.
And was it delicious?
It was delicious. With a nice frosty glass of milk.
Mm.
Anyway, I digress. What were we talking about? Oh, Golden Corral. So they ran out of steak on the buffet, Grace Baker.
Oh, no.
And somebody had the hangries. And they got very upset. And I guess one guy got the last steak and the other guy wanted the last steak. And one thing led to another. And before you knew it, there were 40 people fighting in the Golden Corral restaurant.
I guess it was more of a Golden Corral rodeo type situation.
It was like high noon at the Golden Corral.
Jeez Louise.
And they were throwing punches, throwing chairs,
come on, people,
throwing bodies.
It's just Golden Corral. Go get a steak somewhere else.
And we've got the video, well, no doubt. And we've got the video at toddstearns.com. And it is unbelievable. People are going bonkers over this video.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter, too. People were going nuts.
You know what? People are just frustrated. I think the whole country is just in a bad mood.
And it's like you take away someone's steak or their coffee or anything like that. It's like, I'm going to throw some punches.
It's good Lord. What was that?
That was not me.
That sounded like I-240 in Memphis at rush hour. But seriously, I mean, maybe it's just I just feel like I sense the country as a whole is just in a bad mood.
I agree with you.
And it's this dark winter that Biden has brought upon the country, and he readily admits it.
Yes, this is
and
true.
He says it's going to get darker, and we don't know what that means.
Please,
but people, you know, there's a point in wintertime where you just kind of get like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm over with this. Bring on the spring, and that's what the country politically the country is like. Bring on the spring.
I mean, we've had, you know, here in Memphis, we've had 60-degree weather for a few days. But then I looked at and I was like, this feels like spring. And then I looked at the temperature Thursday, and we have a chance for a winter storm. So,
no, but metaphorically, I'm talking about a literal storm, Grace Baker.
I know, but it just made me think about it. I'm sorry.
844-747-8868. If you folks can help Grace out, that's 844-747-8868.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
By now you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot, and he is, and he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
Checking out the messages over on the Facebook Live stream, and a lot of folks weighing in, and a lady by the name of Mita wrote in, and Sandy writes in, and Sandy says, anybody boycotting Super Bowl halftime is going to be awful. Rebecca says, I've never watched the Super Bowl. Mita or Mita says, I only watched the Super Bowl when one of the players who went to our church was playing. But I don't care for football, and the halftime show has been horrible for years. Oh, that goes back to Janet Jackson having the wardrobe malfunction with our hometown hero, Justin Timberlake. Remember that? Grace Baker remembers. Are you a big Timberlake fan?
I do like Justin Timberlake.
I never see him around town.
You know, I think he lives out like in the suburbs of Millington.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You see, when Elvis was alive, he would, you know, people would run into him all over Memphis. You know, he just hung out.
You know, the main place I've seen him at is sporting events around town, like the Grizzlies.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's kind of private.
So anyway, Grace, the big halftime show, and I had not even thought about the halftime show. I have been boycotting the NFL for years, and so. But the playoffs, I sort of got sucked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the national anthem. Everybody's standing for the national anthem again. And then they announce that Snoop Dogg is going to be leading some sort of a hip-hop free-for-all at halftime.
Oh, yeah. You got Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige. Yeah, the whole shebang.
Is Bruno Mars in there?
No, he's already had his chance.
Yes, okay, I don't know. I've got one Bruno Mars song in the Stearns playlist.
Which one, can I ask?
Yeah, I
remember.
Yeah, I'll have to go and look for it on break. It was a nice song, and I thought, oh, that's nice. Who is that? And it's some guy named Bruno Mars.
Ooh, I bet it's Leave the Door Open.
Leave the Door Open. That's
one of his new ones.
That's
I remember
it.
You mentioning. Yeah. That's a good song. He's not in this lineup.
So anyway, Snoop Dogg. So the problem here is that you've had, what, 5 New York City police officers that have been shot since the first of the year, and Snoop Dogg is radically anti-cop. And so the New York Post, Phil Mushnick is one of the great columnists there, and he says, hey, look, we're just keeping it real, but we need to have a conversation about Snoop Dogg performing at halftime.
Mm.
And he raises a great point. It's like, what are the people, what is Roger Goodell, what is he thinking? I mean, it makes no sense to me that you would go out there and look. I appreciate Snoop Dogg. I see the Corona commercials all the time, but this is a guy who has been arrested, Lord knows how many times.
Gosh,
guns, drugs.
Yep,
he degrades women.
Yep,
is this and he hates cops. So, what sort of a message is the NFL sending with the halftime show at Super Bowl?
That is a really weird choice.
So, and the other issue here is the language, because, you know, they had to bleep everything.
Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of bleeping.
You're going to have 15 minutes. What is it, halftime? What, 15 minutes,
yeah.
Half an hour for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
You're going to have 30 minutes of just a beep.
Beep.
That's it.
Beep, beep.
I mean, it's filthy language.
Yeah.
All you N-words out there, take your guns that you use shooting, that you're using to shoot each other. I'm sorry, it's my vernacular. That's my whiteness
okay.
coming out. My apologies. I'm sorry, I was taught English. What can I say? My bad. All you N-words out there, take your guns that you using to shoot each other and start shooting these B-words, H-words, ass, mother-effing police.
Damn.
That'll impress a mother effing N-word like me. Is he going to do that song at halftime?
Art.
Just oh, no, it is art. No, that's ballet.
It's wonderful.
That's ballet.
And listen, there's some hip-hop artists I actually like, okay? And, you know, it might have one or two cuss words in it. But, like, that's just ridiculous.
There was some poor radio guy who almost said the N-word, because he was trying to make a point about not saying the N-word.
Mm-mm-mm.
And the poor guy got in so much trouble. And I'm like, dude, just say you're a hip-hop artist and it'll be okay. As long as you're a hip-hop artist, you can get away with that.
Honestly.
But you know, it's mind-blowing here in the Liberty University studios that we're having this conversation. The NFL, they think that we forgot. Here we were, out of the goodness of our heart, and it's easy to get sucked right back into the joy of football when it's just about football.
Sure.
When it's about the sport and the pomp and the pageantry and the fact that the microphone crapped out during the playoff game. So guess what happened? The entire stadium, the Kansas City fans stood to their feet and were singing with just as boisterously as possible. That's what football, it's that communal experience. And I think one of the reasons why people were singing the national anthem so loud at that game is that we've got the Democrats, people in power, in control, telling us how awful we are. And then when you get us all together and you're standing there, the black man and the white man and the Indian man and the indigenous man, is that, or Native American, yeah, the other man, if we're all standing there together and we're having a good time, we're singing the national anthem, trying our best to hit the high notes, not quite making it.
That's America.
We're drinking our root beer. We got our bratwurst. And whatever they eat in Kansas City, but well, I don't know. I like root beer. Beta Springs root beer. I love root beer. It's my jam.
Fair.
Don't judge. All that to say, we were having an experience together. We were reminded, hey, wait a second. We're not divided. Wait, Anderson Cooper over at CNN, the most profane name in news, says we're divided.
Crying Negro Network.
Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. I didn't mean to yell, Judge. But you get the point, right? And so then the NFL, we're finally all singing Kumbaya, and we're at the games, and we're cheering for the team, and then we're cheering for the cheerleaders, and we're having a good time. And then the NFL says, we're going to show them.
Suck all the fun out of it.
Suckas. That's what they're saying. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah.
I'm suckas. Working on my vernacular. So
sucka.
Thank you, Grace. That's enough. We get it.
Sucka.
Thank you. Roger Goodell, what are you smoking over there, dude? I think he's been hanging around with Snoop Dogg. That's what I think's been going on. But I wonder, is this going to impact you? I mean, were you one of those people who got pulled back into the game, and now all of a sudden the NFL says, and for halftime, we're going to hate on the cops or everybody else? I mean, these lyrics, this is insane. What's even more insane, and again, this just goes to show you that there really is there are two different levels of justice in America. And now they're giving, for example, and I just hate it for the kids. And I try to tell the young, the little Starnes, don't listen to this kind of stuff. And the reason why is very simple. Because what's going to happen one day, you're going to be listening to this kind of stuff, and you're just going to be minding your business. That song comes on. You're going to be singing along with the lyrics. And guess what happens? You get in trouble. Your life is destroyed. You are publicly shamed and outed because you were quoting along with it. So my recommendation is don't buy the music. They want you, it's a trick. They want you to buy the music, so you will sing along to those lyrics, and then boom, they get you. How many times have we seen the videos of the high school kids or the college kids? They're all at a party. There was a concert, Grace, a couple of years ago. Remember that? They brought some poor guy up on the stage to sing along, and he sang along, and they castigated the guy.
I've seen that multiple times happen, to be honest. It's just... Yeah, you're right.
It's beyond me what's going on in this country.
I don't understand why it's in there in the first place.
So I am curious, though, about football fans. Is that enough for you to turn it off and to say, you know what, we're not going to do that. We're not going to give any credence. We're not going to give any respect to a man like Snoop Dogg who goes out there and hates on the cops and hates on women and supports the criminals. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I am genuinely shocked by this. But I think the New York Post is making a pretty good point here. It's like, what were you guys thinking? 5 New York City police officers shot in the first 20 days of this year. And the NFL is going to turn over halftime to a guy who hates the cops. Snitches, 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 N-word as be running they mouth just like the B-words. Snitches, snitches, snitches. I got a slug for all y'all mother effing snitches. These are the lyrics that will be performed at the Super Bowl. Oh, here's another one. And this is just Snoop Dogg saying this over and over and again while he was holding his nether regions. F the police. F the police. I'm sorry, the vernacular is still off. F the police. F the police. That's how it's written. That's your Super Bowl halftime show. As much as I was excited about watching the Super Bowl, I'm done. Yeah, that's it for me. I don't want to see that crap. Got to take a break here. Jeez, Alou. I think my English teacher from high school just texted me. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number, America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Shame on you, Roger Goodell.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today and hope things are going great wherever you might be across the fruited plain. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, Congressman Chip Roy coming up in the next hour of the show from Texas, weighing in on that border crisis, and it's getting really bad down there. There is a fascinating story in the Daily Wire. Our good friend Megan Basham has written an explosive piece. And she is unafraid of calling out these woke evangelicals, these religious leaders that many people believed to be conservative. And in fact, they are closet leftist, now using government propaganda in our churches. The title of this piece that Megan wrote on DailyWire.com, and we've got a direct link to it on our live show blog, How the Federal Government Used Evangelical Leaders to Spread COVID Propaganda to Churches. Well, we've got Megan right now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Megan, so great for you to come back on the show.
Always happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Todd.
All right, Megan, first, before we get into this, wow, I have never seen so much hate and terrible things being said about someone by evangelical leaders on social media. They don't like you, Megan.
Well, it's funny. People keep saying, oh, you're so brave. And I'm like, you know, I don't really think about it, so maybe I'm just dumb. I don't know.
No, I don't. Look, you're not. And what I appreciate is that you're out there telling the truth, and you're not being bullied, you're not being intimidated, and you're not being silenced by these guys. These are very powerful individuals. They are mean, and they are nasty, and they use the church house as their cover. And I'm glad you're calling these people out.
Well, yeah, and that was the element of the story that really interested me, was using the pulpit and so brazenly admitting that they were using the pulpit to be a mouthpiece for the government. It's so funny that these same people will lecture and cajole and criticize people in the pews for Christian nationalism when they get involved in conservative politics, and yet they are literally working with the CDC and the NIH and other administration departments.
Megan, let me jump in here. We have a really bad phone connection, and we're going to put you on hold, and let's see if we can't get that worked out, Grace. And let's try to get her back maybe on a different line. But this is a fascinating story. If in the early days of the China virus pandemic, you had a lot of very prominent religious leaders, and we're talking about Southern Baptists, we're talking about non-denominational leaders, and they were using their platforms to spew the government line when it came to the China virus propaganda. And many of these very prominent individuals were shutting down their church houses. They were doing the bidding of the government. I want to read the opening paragraph here of Megan's piece in Daily Wire. And while we're before I get into that, though, I'm curious to know, did you notice similar propaganda being spewed in your church houses? And if so, your congregation could very well have been infected by this propaganda. In September, Wheaton College Dean Ed Stetzer interviewed National Institutes of Health Director Francis Collins on his podcast, Church Leadership, about why Christians who want to obey Christ's command to love their neighbors should get the COVID vaccine and avoid indulging in misinformation. And there are actually people out there, religious leaders, and most of them are Christianity Today, a far leftist publication now. And that was their argument, is that if you are not getting the vaccine, then you don't love Jesus, and you're a bad person, and you're probably going to go to hell. So Megan does a deep dive in all of this, and I'm afraid we're going to have to try to reschedule her and get her on a landline. And my apologies, that's technology, folks, that happens. But we're going to get her back, and so she can take us in, you know, on a deep dive into this story about how many of these so-called well-respected religious leaders, and many of them were in the Southern Baptist Convention, they turned, and many church members were unaware until now that these religious leaders had been infected with the with this leftist ideology. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the phones here. Steve in Central Arkansas wants to weigh in on the latest with Spotify and Joe Rogan. Steve, good to have you with us. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I don't know if you read the full statement that Spotify put out. The news media is just talking about the Joe Rogan part of it. But the full statement actually states that any content, podcast or music that talks about illegal activities, physical harm to anybody, several things they put in their statement there, that if they go by their statement, they're going to pretty well take hip-hop music off their platform.
Well, that's a fair point and a pretty astute observation, Steve. But the reality is the hip-hop artists live by another set of rules. They're allowed to do things the average citizen would not be allowed to do. And they do so because it's in the name of art, it's in the name of their culture, and they're able to get away with that. So that may be the, you know, Spotify doesn't want to be accused of being racist. And if they crack down on the hip hop artists, they'll be accused of being racist.
If I had Joe Rogan's money and they took my podcast down or messed with my podcast, I would sure be jumping up and down so everybody in the country could hear, and it would be in court what they left on there compared to what they took down of that.
Oh, forget court, Steve. I say punish them. What Joe Rogan should have done is said, fine, you know what? I'm your number one podcast. I'm taking my business someplace else. Hit them where it hurts. It's time to punish these people for what they've done.
I agree.
All right, Steve, appreciate the call, and always good hearing from you. He is the kind of the sage of Central Arkansas. But to that point, I never did understand why, you know, Joe Rogan, I was listening to, was it Sebastian Gorka? And he said Gorka really didn't apologize, or he said Rogan didn't really apologize. I don't know. That sounded like an apology to me, and I don't think he should have. I think Rogan should have said, okay, Spotify, you're going to slap a label on me? Yeah, I'm out of here. Good luck to you. Hope Neil Young can bring in the big numbers. and Joni Mitchell, the singer, not the hairstylist. That's what I would have done. And honestly, that's what I did. Look, how many people that have left Fox News have just fallen flat on their face? You never hear. You know what? We were very fortunate, thanks to the good graces of our great audience. And now our platform is larger than when we were at Fox News Channel. And that's because of you. So the people will go to where they can get good content. You don't have to be on Spotify. Forget those people. But this is the cancel culture mob at its finest. So again, our apologies about the Megan Basham interview. We're going to try to get her back on this week. We do have a link to that story. And if you attend a Baptist church, if you attend a non-denominational church, you definitely need to read this story. It will blow your mind what's been happening. Unbelievable, the liberalism that has crept back into these denominations. Everybody thought it was over, but that fight continues. It's a terrible thing. Got a question for you. Mike Pence, you think he's got a shot? You think Mike Pence has a shot at the presidency? President Trump, by the way, wants the January 6th committee to investigate Pence. Yeah, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. But Mike Pence is heading to South Carolina. This is from the Washington Examiner. The former vice president is dropping anchor there. He's going to be in South Carolina in April and May to build support with conservative activists and Republican operatives. Chip Saltzman is leading the effort along with Josh Kimbrell. I know both these guys, and they are in it to win it. So this is not some sort of a, I'm just going to go on vacation at Myrtle Beach. No. That's not what this is. Mike Pence seems to believe that he has a great opportunity here to possibly run for the White House. Dave Wilson is president of the Palmetto Family Council, a prominent conservative group. This is from the Washington Examiner. David Drucker is the senior political correspondent. Quote, Vice President Pence is galvanizing his relationships in South Carolina with the evangelical community, which is a strong move on his part to begin possibly to shore up a base for a possible presidential run. Wilson and his group are neutral in the unfolding 2024 GOP primary campaign. Now, the question at this point would be, okay, well, has Trump lost the evangelical vote here? Or is it in jeopardy? And I ask that because the president is not a social conservative. I mean, he's pro-life, but that's about where he draws the line. I mean, when it comes to traditional marriage and all that other, no. He's very liberal on those things. So Mike Pence clearly sees that he's got some sort of an opportunity here. So does Mike Pompeo. Why do you think he dropped how much? What is it, 100 pounds he dropped? I mean, Mike Pompeo is in shape to run. Not just figuratively, but literally. So the Republicans that were in Trump's orbit, are they either know something or they're foolhardy? If Trump decides to run, do you really think Mike Pence has a shot? But let's step back for a moment. Let's say Trump does not run. Who do you like? I mean, we've all seen the polling data, and right now it's Ron DeSantis by a wide margin. So my question to you is, Mike Pence, is he done? Is he finished with politics? Or does he really have a shot here? Because he's camping out in South Carolina spending big money to run for something. Something is up. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Maybe Pence is positioning himself to be Trump's VP again and proving that he's got something that Trump needs. Maybe that's it. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're getting a little bit of a funky vibe in here today. I kind of like that. So one of our, I'm not sure I should say who this is, but we have one of our listeners from Statesville, North Carolina writes in all caps, and that's normally, that means yelling when it's all caps like that. Mike Pence can pound sand in the South. Pence clearly is a globalist rhino. I suspect that many others feel the same way. If Trump is going to be running again, I don't think Pence is going to be the running mate. There is bad blood between those two. And, you know, we'll ask the president about it. By the way, President Trump is going to be on the program Monday. And we'll ask the president about his relationship with Mike Pence. But something is clearly up. Mike Pence is willing to spend money. He's willing to spend time and resources. He thinks he's got a shot at the White House come 2024. Personally, I'd like to see us get through 2022 first. We've got to, folks, this is the firewall. November is the firewall. We have an opportunity to stop Biden's radical agenda if we take over the Senate and the House. We have an opportunity. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, we talked about the Super Bowl, and they're having the anti-cop dude, Snoop Dogg, doing the halftime show. Now the Democrats are out there trying to say that they have never been anti-cop. I want to play a cut from the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, cut number 8.
So does that mean you support proposals like what we've seen in Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti saying, take some of the money from policing, about $150 million, invest it in health initiatives, training initiatives for youth?
I support investing in communities so that they become more healthy and therefore more safe. Right now, what we're seeing in America is many cities spend over one-third of their entire city budget on policing. But meanwhile, we've been defunding public schools for years in America. We've got to re-examine what we're doing with American taxpayer dollars and ask the question, are we getting the right return on our investment? Are we actually creating healthy and safe communities? And that's a legitimate conversation, and it requires a really critical evaluation. I applaud Eric Garcetti for doing what he's done.
All right, there you have it. So Kamala Harris has no problem defunding the police. No problem whatsoever. Don't let them. Do not buy into the lies that the Democrats are spewing. They hate cops. And that's why you had that female actress over in New York City who went on the profane rant because they shut down streets to honor a dead cop. And now she's out of a job. Exit stage left. Thank you very much. Hey, I want to play some audio. This is from Loudoun County in Virginia. You know, the governor there doing a great job returning control of the mask situation to the local school districts. So now, Loudoun County, they're sending them to suspension if they don't wear the face mask.
Every morning last week, from Tuesday until Friday, Stephanie Lundquist Arora escorted her 3 sons to school. 2 attend this elementary, her oldest this middle school. None of the children wore masks, a violation of FCPS policy. She says it was their decision.
My sons feel that they should have the right now to not wear a mask, so I left it up to them.
Now all 3 boys trying to keep up with their studies from home. That's because they've been suspended day after day. FCPS considers their refusal to wear a mask a violation of the dress code.
I think it's incredibly draconian. I think it's unbelievable. We pay for public education. We have the right to in-person education.
Lundquist Arora has sent several emails to the superintendent appealing the suspensions. She says she and her sons believe Governor Glenn Youngkin's executive order allowing parents to decide about masks should now be guiding school policy. But FCPS and many Northern Virginia school districts are keeping the mandates in place.
So look, a couple of things here. First of all, moms, dads, you gotta get back to the school board. You gotta do what you did in the first place when it came to the transgender bathroom nonsense. You're going to have to force the issue with these school boards. We did the same thing here in Memphis, Tennessee, the Germantown School District. Moms and dads got fired up. The local talk radio station, KWAM, we provided the megaphone. And guess what? Kids aren't in in-school suspension anymore for not wearing a face mask. Folks, you got to fight the academic fascist. Got to do it. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. They call him out. This is the guy that loves to eat in the nude, at least facial nudity, at the French Laundry. Yeah, the guy doesn't wear a face mask. He's out there. They're passing all these rules and regulations. Every child in the state of California has to wear a face burka. But not Gavin Newsom, who was at the playoff game, or the championship game, rather, just the other night on Sunday, and he's all smiles. Clearly, he's had some teeth whitening done. You can see it. He's just grinning from ear to ear, hanging out with all these celebrities. Mayor Eric Garcetti there, the mayor of Los Angeles. Mayor London Breed is there, the mayor of San Francisco. Nobody's wearing a face mask. And so Newsom is out there stammering and stuttering and saying, well, I just took it off real quick so I could get a picture. No, that's not true. There was video evidence that this guy was not wearing a face mask. Now, I think this is further evidence of what I've been saying all along. If in fact, this is really a dangerous, deadly pandemic, why is it that Gavin Newsom and Eric Garcetti and London Breed were not wearing face coverings? Why would they expose not just themselves, but other people to the virus? If in fact, it's as bad as they say it is. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us a great guest of the program, Shannon Skolton, who is the host of Voice of Truth, a great radio program. Shannon, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well, Todd. Thank you for having me on.
Now, Shannon, I know you talk a lot about the vaccines and what's happening with the China virus, but I want to get your take on Gavin Newsom and this mask hypocrisy.
Oh, gosh, let me tell you, if it's hypocrisy at the umpteenth level, I mean, you mentioned his trip to the French Laundry. We know that. And we know everybody who he hangs out with, Pelosi getting her hair done, not wearing masks either. This seems to be common with the elite. Now, how brazen is he to be seen on camera, however, knowing that the eye in the sky is always watching, not wearing a mask? It shows that he's completely out of touch with the laws and the mandates he is passing in Southern California. Todd, I honestly think that Sheriff Bianco from Riverside said it best. He said, we need to end these mandates, end this state of emergency. We stand up to the hypocritical elites. It is time that we remind ourselves that we are not going to give in to this anymore. And he is not enforcing mandates. And I think all of California needs to relook at all of this, especially for children.
See, Shannon, I'm with you on this, and I know that you've been documenting a lot of this. I mean, the impact that these mandates and the Zoom classes, all of this has had a significant impact on every child in that state.
Oh, it's completely cruel. It's forced. It's child abuse. You know, children are sitting with masks 6 to 8 hours a day with long-term consequences. We know. Hey, 6 months ago, Joe Rogan said it best. If you were to mention anything on social media about cloth masks not working, you'd be silenced for misinformation. Now the CDC even admits it, and the World Health Organization, that they really don't do anything. So where are we now? Still forcing our kids to have long-term consequences, upper respiratory and bacterial infections, even cognitive disorders from wearing these masks all day. It's got to stop.
Shannon, we were scheduled to have Megan Basham on. She writes for the Daily Wire. She has a stunning in-depth report on how the federal government was actually using evangelical leaders to spread this China virus propaganda in the churches, including Rick Warren from Saddleback Church there in California.
You know what? Rick Warren has always been a subject of controversy. I mean, he did write a great book early 90s or late 80s. Other than that, we've known that he stood on the wrong side of evangelicals with some ecumenical beliefs. That does not surprise me. We know the bigger audience you have, the more the federal government will get in bed with you. Now, that's needless to say, the churches are equally responsible. If they take federal funding, they're in bed with the government, and we will see the slippery slope that we're seeing now with these large evangelical churches. And he's probably not the only one.
No, he is not. And Megan does a great job of outing all of these people, and it's just shocking because many of these folks are the mega church pastors. They do have great influence, especially among younger ministers. And that concerns me because you've got a lot of these folks that are beginning to waffle on some of the significant culture issues of the day for the sake of pronoun hospitality, for example.
There you go. And gender fluidity, we see the church turning into the Laodicean church, which biblically is the social justice church. And that's what's happening. We know the Bible says there's going to be a falling away. We see it in our day and age with these giant evangelical leaders. Look, it doesn't just end with mask mandates and their social justice being warriors behind the pulpit and not adhering to scripture. It also has a lot to do with how they live their lives and adultery and a lot of things that we see are coming out now and being revealed. What we need to do is we need to pray for these leaders. I have my own opinions on some that I think are probably in that report. I'm interested to see it because of my personal experiences with them. But the nation needs prayer, especially with these giant leaders, because there are levels of compromise.
And honestly, Shannon, when you look at this from a national perspective, a cultural perspective, when you are infiltrating the church houses like that, the federal government, you are in effect neutralizing the body of Christ. And as a result, you've got all sorts of evil that's allowed to run rampant across our country.
This is propaganda 2.0 from the Nazis to now. This is propaganda 2.0. You know, the anti-Semitic push that happened during the war, we're seeing it again. It started in the churches in Austria, in some other parts of Europe, Western Europe, and Eastern Europe. And we saw what that ended up doing in the war for the Nazis. And now we see that same tool being used from the enemy's tool bag in our churches. It's indoctrination. It's mental manipulation. And each of us have a personal responsibility to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But man, when your leader, the shepherd, is leading you astray, we're going to be suffering some major consequences in this nation.
Shannon, I know you've had a lot of medical experts on talking about the vaccines. Do you think that we're at the tail end of this, or is this going to go on for an eternity?
I think that there is going to be a little bit of shift in balance. I think that in a lot of ways, the mandates for vaccines are going to disappear. I think it's going to go to a state level, and at that point, we're going to see who's really going to be on the right or wrong side of history. I don't see it completely ending. I do see restrictions on the vaccine passports and tracking, but it also depends geopolitically on what happens overseas. We see Austria, for instance, doubling down on vaccine mandates for anybody under 18. We know what's going on in Australia, but then again, the UK said, we're over it. We're done. We're not doing this anymore. So it's going to be a wave of freedom, and we're going to see who jumps on that wave and rides it all the way on the right side of history.
Yeah, and that could be decided in the midterm elections. I mean, I think that's go ahead.
I agree. No, I agree.
And if nothing else, we're looking at that being possibly one of the most significant campaign issues. But the Democrats aren't that stupid, and so I wouldn't be surprised if they do try to back off a little bit before the midterm elections. It might save a few of their seats, and, you know, who knows? I mean, the Republicans, you know, have been known to screw things up through the years.
Well, there's a lot of rhinos in office currently. We know that, and we see that. There's a lot of Democrats as well, that I believe are used as strictly pawns for the mass globalist agenda. And so this is going to be a telling election. It's going to be exciting to see. And this is when patriots need to speak up. They need to vote. They need to have their voice be heard. And they need to operate under the Constitution and believe in that, not for their sake, but for their children and their grandchildren. This is going to be a tremendous and telling time for the United States.
Well said. Shannon, we're going to leave it there. Where can people go if they want to get more information about your great show and all the great things you're doing?
Well, I air on 990 KWAM, obviously 107.9, all across the United States on over 500 stations. You could go to my website, voiceoftruthradio.org, get information there, sign up to be a patriot and join the movement, and follow me on social media as we live stream 5 days a week as well as the radio broadcast. Let's stand up for freedom together as Americans.
All right, Shannon. I always appreciate you coming on the program. That's Shannon Skolton, ladies and gentlemen, the host of Voice of Truth. And we have links to all of her her website and her platforms over on our live show blog. Well, is this true that Dr. Dre, we're going back to the Super Bowl. Is Dr. Dre performing in one of the, is he one of the performers?
This is true.
Jeez-a-loo. Mm-hmm. So it's not just Snoop Dogg.
No, not just Snoop Dogg. You got, like you said, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Mary J. Blige, the whole gang.
And it's Eminem, not M&M's. So that's because
two different things.
I mean, you could.
The M&M's are woke now. So.
Well, they are. So maybe they might make an appearance.
You never know.
Androgynous or lesbian M&M's. We haven't figured that out yet.
I don't think we know the pronouns.
All we know is they're wearing sensible shoes. No more stiletto heels.
True.
Dr. Dre had a song, and again, this is the argument from the New York Post: is we've got a problem here with the. I'm being told we have the song. I'm not sure we should play this song on the radio.
Oh, I think producer Kyle has this covered. Don't worry.
He's
got it built for radio.
So this is one of the songs that may be performed at the Super Bowl halftime show. This is the name of the song is "Blank the Police." F word, the police?
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding.
Geez, all right, let's take a listen here.
The police coming straight from the underground. A young got it back because I'm brown.
Oh, there's an N word in there, too, right?
got the idea. It's literally just going to be a show of beep.
I'm sorry, it's the police. The police. Not the police, but the police.
Emphasis on the po.
The po-po. As Madea would say.
Oh, no.
The po-po.
Oh, no.
Well, all I can tell you is the po-po going to be mighty upset if this kind of crap is played at the Super Bowl halftime show. But somebody at the NFL needs to address this issue. Why were these people selected? Why is it that we're going to have a bunch of anti-cop people at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, especially with the NFL's target audience, it just makes no sense to me.
No, it makes absolutely no sense.
From just a strategic standpoint, it makes no sense.
First of all, I would say any police officer that is running security, I'd just call it a day.
Yep.
Sounds say, like a plan. Yeah, we're good.
I'm good.
That's it.
Go get a hot dog.
That's it. Yeah. You know what? Here's a thought. Why don't you get one of the losing teams to provide security for the rest of the Super Bowl? Why not do that?
Linebackers with helmets. Let's go.
There you go. All right. Hey, folks, got to tell you about a new organization I'm a part of. It's called AMAC. It is amazing. If you are 50 years of age or older, you got to check this out. Over 2 million other active AMAC members nationwide. They are America's largest organization just for conservative seniors. Folks, we really dodged a bullet in January. We got some big victories. We stopped the Build Back Better scheme. We saved the filibuster from liberal mischief, and the good news is we are winning thanks to our friends at AMAC, but there are many other battles that lie ahead, and it's so important that we add more people to AMAC's membership roster, and that's why I am personally urging you to choose AMAC right now. You know, you're going to get the great membership benefits like hotel discounts, travel, restaurant discounts. But at the same time, your membership is actually going to support your values. So go to amac.us/starns today to start your discounts. That's amac.us/starns. And you're going to get some incredible discounts. That's amac.us /Starnes to become an AMAC member just like me. We'll be right back, folks.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, George W. Bush starting to get a little bit more active in campaigning again. He has given the maximum donations to Liz Cheney and Lisa Murkowski. So it's setting up what's setting up here is a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. This is a very dangerous place for the Republicans to be because they risk. They risk taking back the House and the Senate. They've got to be very careful here. But this is going to be a Bush versus Trump battle for the heart and the soul of the Republican Party. And my question is, where do you stand? Who do you side with here, folks? Do you side with George W.? Do you side with Donald Trump? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Renee wants to weigh in on wokeness, listening to us on KYKN in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Renee, what's going on?
Hi, good morning. Glad to speak to you today.
Thank you.
One of the things that we need to think about is the fact that we as a Christian nation and Christians individually have not been paying attention. It was announced years ago by some of the publishing houses that they were going to take our Bibles and change men to men / women. And my pastor's wife spoke about that this week. But in her Bible, it says man / woman. And in Genesis, it doesn't say the creation of man. It says creation of human beings.
What kind of a Bible is that?
It's a NIV. It's one of the standard Bibles from one of the standard publishing houses.
You know,
I don't know which one, so I can't say.
You see, this is why I've had all sorts of different translations, Renee. I've gone back to the King James Version, and the way I look at it, if John the Baptist used the King James Version, it's good enough for me. That's
it's just crazy, and it's part of what our we as a society have done is let those little things slip. So when this was being announced 9 or 10 years ago, we didn't pay attention. We just let it slip.
Sure did. We sure did, Renee. And now we're paying the price. So I think Shannon framed it correctly when she said there's going to be a great falling away. And I think that's what we're looking at with a lot of these mega churches that are, quite frankly, cheap ripoffs of nightclubs. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's my observation, at least.
Yeah, more and more of them are picking the subject they want to speak to and picking the verses that go with that subject.
There you go. With the worship bands.
Yeah,
all right, thanks for the call, Renee. Grace, is that a fair assessment that a lot of these mega churches are basically cheap imitation nightclub knockoffs?
I think there are a good chunk of them that definitely are. My church is super traditional, so.
Worship bands made up of American Idol rejects.
Oh, dang.
I'm sorry, but
shots
it's true.
Shots fired.
It's true.
Shots fired.
I mean, I like Lynyrd Skynyrd as much as the next, but when you're playing Freebird for your offertory.
Dang.
Maybe, just maybe you ought to rethink that.
I'll stick to the choir.
I'm just saying.
You're preaching to the
choir. Oh, Ron DeSantis. Wow, you're not going to believe what he had to say. We'll play you some audio. He's pretty fed up with this infrastructure bill. Folks, 844-747-8868. That's our number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Love. Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour three of our extravaganza. We're going to get to what Whoopi Goldberg had to say. Oh, my gosh. Folks, it's just unbelievable. You know, they accuse Trump of being all these horrible things when, in fact, the people accusing him are the ones who are the true offenders. That's the gist of all of this. That's the lesson, the life lesson that we should be learning from the squawking magpies over at The View. I don't watch that program. Too much testosterone for me, especially that early in the morning. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is Jen Psaki, Little Red Lion Hood, talking about the border and border agents. Cut number three, please.
The role that Border Patrol agents play in ensuring security and safety at our borders is something that there's great value for in this administration.
Well, okay, if that's the case, then why aren't there more people securing the border? I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have Congressman Chip Roy from the great state of Texas with us. Congressman, what is the current situation down at our southern border?
Hey, Todd, always good to be on the show. Appreciate it. And, yeah, yesterday the White House liar in chief and press secretary's office, Jen Psaki, you know, she literally lies as much as she breathes. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. You know, yesterday that clip you just played was in response to questions about the video that leaked of Border Patrol agents, line agents, questioning the leadership of DHS with Mayorkas sitting right there talking to the chief saying, what are you doing? Like, why aren't we actually doing our job? And, you know, we can talk about whether they've got enough manpower, whether they've got enough, you know, weapons, whether they've got the wall structures they need. They don't. They don't have the stuff that they need fully. But it really isn't a issue of that as much as they don't have the backing to do their job, to go enforce the law and to have policies that will cause people to be removed from this country or not allowed to enter. And that's what's actually going on. So we know the facts, right? 500,000 people were apprehended the last quarter of 21. We've had, you know, a million people last year that were either released or known gotaways. 2 million apprehensions, fentanyl pouring into our communities, 100,000 dead Americans from opioid overdoses. This all by purposeful policies by the Mayorkas regime in the Biden administration. This is why we should impeach him. That's why we're going to be leaning into impeaching Mayorkas and have new and improved articles and making the case with memoranda distributed that we need to impeach Mayorkas. But Jen Psaki should be ashamed of herself, just literally leaving our Border Patrol agents there flapping in the wind. And this is why yesterday I sent a letter demanding that we actually see the alleged report and study being done about the alleged whipping incident, which we all know is bogus. And Jen Psaki and President Biden threw every Border Patrol agent under the bus, accusing them of whipping migrants when it was patently false. And now they're burying the report that would indicate that's the case.
That is in itself offensive. Why they slandered those border agents, and they knew, everybody knew, we all saw the video. There was video evidence, and yet they have not recanted anything they said. None of the allegations, Congressman.
No, they'll never recant it because look, they know the fact is they have nothing to sell the American people. The failed agenda that's making us more endangered because our streets are less safe, our borders are wide open, you know, terrorists are running amok in Afghanistan, Russia's rattling around the world, and these guys want to play the race card because the only thing they've got left to play, they are an absolute empty book. They got one trick, and that trick is playing the race card. You're seeing it unfold at Georgetown University, where the left is trying to oust the professor simply for commenting and free speech, and he's apologized about the art of the words, but it's a race-based effort to try to get somebody kicked out of a university to play that race card. The same race card they're playing with the voting fraud bill they're trying to push here in the federal level. The same race card that they're going to play when we have a hearing about voter ID and they try to say that's the same as the poll tax. So when I question that, then they say that I'm somehow a white supremacist. These guys have no fuel in the tank. All they've got is the ability to stand up and play the race card, and I'm sick and tired of it. And guess what? So are all the brown people in South Texas that these people say that are their voters. They're full of crap, and they're about to have a rude awakening.
And dare I say this, all of those brown people are not eligible to be a Supreme Court justice in the Biden administration.
Well, you know, excellent point, because it was the Democrats, speaking of the race card, who set out to destroy a man, Miguel Estrada, simply because he's an Hispanic conservative. Those are the facts. It happened. And Democrats have never been made to pay the consequences for destroying a good man simply because they didn't want to have a conservative Hispanic on the court. And now they want to get up and say, oh, we got to have a black woman. Well, it was Joe Biden who filibustered black woman Janice Rogers Brown because she was a conservative. This is all bull. It has nothing to do with wanting to have a black woman on the court. It has everything in the world to do with them wanting to play the race cards, try to divide us, when we should be seeking to have a colorblind society where we pick the best person for the job. And you know who the best man for the job was in 1991? Clarence Thomas. And you know what? They don't want to admit that. They want to hide behind it after they filibustered Janice Rogers Brown, destroyed Miguel Estrada. Now they want to say, oh, we're going to pick a black woman. And then they want to destroy a good professor at Georgetown for daring to question it. But you know what? Your time is up. We're tired of these games.
And again, to borrow their talking points, it was the racism of the Democrat Party. Estrada was the first filibuster ever to be successfully used against a judicial nominee, even though he had the clear support of a majority of the Senate. So the Democrat leadership, they torpedoed this guy because of his ethnicity. It's just unbelievable. Again, we're playing their game, Congressman. You know, they play it on us all the time. We're going to throw it right back at them.
Absolutely. I'm sick of this stuff. We need to shove it right back down their throat. You want to call me a white supremacist? I'm going to shove your own record right down your throat because you guys are the ones that are the racists playing the race card. I was there on the Senate Judiciary Committee. I know exactly what they had in those memos. They hid behind saying, oh, these memos, they were stolen off of some server. Look, if a Republican had left a memo in a manila folder sitting in the Judiciary Committee room and you had found it saying that we were trying to destroy a judge because that judge was some fill-in-the-blank characteristic, they would have nuked us for it. The fact is, we have absolute evidence that they were trying to kill Estrada because he's an Hispanic male, and they did, and they hurt his career. And it went on, and, you know, I'm not even going to get into some of the things that happened to him and his family as a result of it.
They destroyed him.
Ashamed of it. And Joe Biden was the ringleader. And that SOB needs to pay the consequences for that.
Congressman, I understand you're heated and you're fired up, and you should be. And it's appalling. And I appreciate you calling them out because they need to. And more Republicans need to be just as indignant as you, sir, because we've got to put a stop to this. And I'm tired of them. The only reason they're putting a black female up is they know that any congressman who is not black or a person of color that criticizes the nominee will immediately be labeled as a racist.
No, that's exactly right. And they do that here in the halls of Congress all of the time, right? They try to put out bills and they call them some name that you can't oppose. And they name it after a civil rights icon, or they force us to take votes on every single thing so that they can go out and trumpet and play that race card. I refuse to play along. I'm not going to do it.
Good for you. And on that note, I wanted to get in. I hate to make a pivot here, but I did want to follow up on the border issue. These reports we're getting from all over America of airplanes landing in the dark of night, and they're just dumping grown adult men onto the tarmacs. We don't know who these people are. We don't know if they've been vetted. They've been tested for the China virus. They're just being unleashed into our towns and communities.
Well, you know what? We're seeing that. In fact, I saw an airplane dropping off in Westchester County. Of course, a little part of me says, good. I want to see some of these people in their tony little rich suburbs outside of Manhattan, understanding what we experience every single day in South Texas. The fact of the matter is that's what's happening. They're doing it by dark of night. They're distributing people around the country by bus, by plane. We know that they've been dropping people off at the airport in San Antonio. We know that they're moving busloads of people. Hell, we had a hotel down on the border that was chock full of immigrants who are tested positive for COVID, and Catholic Charities was footing the bill. Look, this is an organized effort by leftists. In NGO, nonprofit organization, this administration, the United Nations, it's all purposeful. They're trying to blow up this country by driving a wedge between us. and open up and expose our border. We don't know who's coming across. We keep catching more and more people from dangerous countries that have, you know, state sponsors of terror. And we know that the cartels are getting enriched. We know that they're now moving dangerous opioids into the United States at unprecedented levels, and the American people are dying. The administration knows this. They don't care. That's why Mayorkas should be impeached, because he is disregarding our law and endangering the American people in disregarding the law and his oath of office. So we should impeach him for it.
All right, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate your frankness on these matters. We need more people like you within the Republican Party, sir.
Well, God bless you, Todd. You keep it up, and look forward to joining you again. Take care.
All right, sounds good. Congressman Chip Roy, everybody. And you heard him. He called President Biden an SOB, and with good reason. And I want to share some intel with you. He was talking about Miguel Estrada, who was named to the federal bench by George W. Bush. His name was put up for nomination. A very well-qualified man. There were internal Democrat memos that were leaked to the media. None other than Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin. And again, Joe Biden was the ringleader of all of this. And they, in these memorandums that were, and you can Google this, we'll post links to it up on our live show blog. But these internal memorandums mentioned that liberal interest groups wanted to keep Estrada off the court because they feared that he might be a future Supreme Court nominee. And they specifically mentioned his Latino roots. They said his Latino roots might make his nomination difficult to oppose. It was all racist. The Democrats stopped the Republicans, and they successfully filibustered a man who would have been confirmed to the federal bench. But they stopped it. The Democrats stopped it because of the man's race. And we have the evidence. We have the memorandums. This is not up for dispute. And we're going to get into what Whoopi Goldberg said after the break here. But every time the Democrats and the media tell you that Donald Trump is a racist, that he's a xenophobe, that he's a homophobe, that he doesn't like people south of the border, it's not true. And they are projecting, because time after time, we have learned that when the Democrats call someone a racist, it is in fact the Democrats who are the racist. And we have the proof here. And the mainstream media that like to cover this up, you got a bunch of stupid people right out of college that are now working at the networks. It used to be you had to work in the industry 10, 15 years before you made it to the networks. Now you get a job right out of college. And those kids know nothing. They know nothing. And they're covering these stories, and they don't know the story when it slaps them upside the head. That's the problem here. So anyway, I appreciate the congressman and his righteous indignation, because it is righteous. And he is right to call out the sorry so-and-so racist, because that's all they are. That's all they are. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis weighing in on this infrastructure bill, which has nothing to do with infrastructure, by the way. It really doesn't. And so now, you know, the argument is that that highways are racist, not because of the blacktop with the white line dividing it, but apparently because they've been, I don't know, going through historically black neighborhoods. Anyway, here's DeSantis.
I mean, a lot of that stuff's not going to infrastructure. You know, they're spending like $15 billion on speed cameras to be able to catch people speeding. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't want that. That's bringing us even more surveillance. Like, we need more surveillance in our society right now. So there's trees they're putting in. They're saying that highways are racially discriminatory. I don't know how a road can be that, but you know, this is the wokeification of federal policy when you see this stuff. So there's a whole host of problems with it. And I think the Republicans who opposed it were right.
I kid you not, Grace Baker, Memphis, Tennessee, home of the worst drivers in America.
I would totally agree with that.
And I was on one of the message boards, and there's an activist in the community who says that that minorities do not have to follow the same rules on the road as everybody else.
What?
No, seriously. They don't have to follow the same rules, which could explain a lot. I remember it's about a year ago. I had just moved back. I'm in a very nice area of the city, and some guy comes literally racing up behind me. I was at a stoplight.
Sure.
And I thought he was going to hit me, and his tires were screeching as he whipped around, and I was in the front of the line. So there was he scoots his car directly in front of mine. So I'm laying on the horn. Grace Baker, next thing I see, guy slumped down, got the low rider. He's got the hand on the wheel, and he's got the gun in the other hand. And he just lifts it up and puts it back down. And I appreciate him not shooting me. I do.
Well, yeah, me too.
But that's actually life. That's regular life in Memphis.
I never honk my horn because I'm scared to.
Yeah, and that's what
because
somebody told me. Yeah, somebody told me. They said, no, you can't honk your horn in Memphis.
No.
Or you'll get shot.
Exactly.
So you don't want the, you know. But they said, seriously, that only certain people have to follow the rules of the road.
That's bogus. The
more you know. I mean, you know, it makes sense now. So while you have to drive 55 miles an hour, others can drive 117, 120 miles an hour. And we're not making this up, by the way. This is the actual, one of the newspapers in town actually clocked people driving on Interstate 240 upwards of 117 miles an hour.
It's insane. It's like a roadway, like just a speedway out there.
And they literally use the interstate as a, like, for drag races.
Yes, they do. Downtown, they had to put in insane speed bumps to curb drag racing. Like, they're those terrible little ones that they don't look bad, and then you feel like you're about to bust your tires going over them.
Yesterday, to give you an example of how crazy it is, somebody was going so fast, they slammed into another car on the interstate and literally sheared it in half.
My gosh.
Killing somebody, they lost their life. But all that to say that, you know, when you go back to these people who are literally saying roads are racist, you know, there are people who believe that stoplights are racist because it stops people from driving as fast as they want to drive. I know I'm not making this up. It's as weird as it sounds. This is what people believe. So therefore, they believe they are above the law. And this is our own fault because we have allowed two systems of justice to be created in this country. One set of rules for law-abiding taxpayers and another set for everybody else. Well, I don't make the rules. I just report on them. That's all. That's all I'm saying. But DeSantis is a good point. How can a road be racist? It's a great question, Governor. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our number. That's 844-747-8868. Don't honk your horn, America. Not in Memphis. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Mike Blasey, running for Congress out of New Jersey's 4th Congressional District. Mike, hope you're doing well today.
I'm alive and kicking, my friend.
Well, the good for you. I'm glad to hear that. We just had Congressman Chip Roy on. He is so fired up over the Biden administration and their rank hypocrisy on everything from the border to race. It makes you wonder what is going to be the big the big issue going into the midterms?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, what's happening right now is so scary. I don't think Stephen King could write a scarier novel than what's going on right now. The Biden administration and his Democratic team of socialists are really turning our country around, and it's not a direction we want to go to. I mean, what happened to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? We're not going to let that take away from us.
There in New Jersey, Mike, what are some of the things that are the hot-button issues for voters?
Well, first of all, medical freedom obviously is a big one. Governor Murphy extending his executive powers again until February 10th has got people hot. I mean, first of all, just so you know, I do support the truck drivers. I am all for them. And it's time for the people to get loud. If you get loud and you make some noise and you stamp on the feet, people are going to listen. Right now, the parents that are in New Jersey are probably the most agitated and loudest group that we have right now. They're not happy with their kids being masked. They're not happy with what's going on in their schools today. I attend several Board of Ed meetings every week throughout the district. And if you see how fired up these parents are, let me tell you something. Nothing's more fierce than a mama bear.
Oh, no, that's true. And especially, and I will say this, you know, I'm from the South, and of course we have our Southern mama bears, but those New Jersey mama bears are just as dangerous.
Absolutely. I mean, at what point do we decide that, listen, you know what, COVID doesn't seem to be going away, so learn to move on. I mean, these parents, the damage that's happening to their kids, it's going to be a mental and a physical issue that's going to last for years and years to come. I've actually questioned one of the Board of Ed leaders, and I said, what medical school did you go to? She was, I didn't go to medical school. Then how do you put a medical device on our children and tell them they can't breathe? And I said to him, when I was in second grade, I used to swap lunches. You don't think these kids are swapping masks? You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's healthy at this point. We need to get medical freedom. We need these kids to have a great life. We need them to smile again. You understand? We need to see kids smiling, not hidden behind a mask.
You see, I know this is so encouraging for our listeners to hear, you know, other parts of the nation where people are dealing with the same issues. And it sounds as if the folks there in New Jersey have the same grave concerns that the folks in places like Tennessee and Georgia do.
Absolutely. This is an issue for the country. We've got to take back our country. We've got to get loud. We've got to get proud. We've got to make some noise. You know, they think we're the minority, Mr. Staunz, but we are not. We're the majority. Unfortunately, the fake news media and the mainstream media and the social media, all this nonsense has people think that they are the minority, but we're not. We're the majority, and we're getting louder and louder every day. And the people that follow my campaign and support my campaign, they are with me 100%, and I'm telling you, we don't need bullhorns. We're getting loud.
Well, Mike Blasey's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is running for Congress in New Jersey, the 4th Congressional District. Mike, I know you're also an Army veteran, and there have been a lot of concerns about what's happening with Russia, Ukraine, and really military readiness. Do you think our military is ready to fight a war with Russia?
You know what? I'm not even 100% sure. Under Biden, probably not. Under Trump, most likely we probably would have been. Unfortunately, what's going on right now is I think that Biden is not capable of going into any kind of confrontation with Russia, and I'm not sure if going into Ukraine right now is the best thing for the country.
All right. Mike, how's the campaign going otherwise?
We're not running. We're flying at this point. Our momentum is high. Our momentum is hot. Our files are growing. We're out in the district every day, meeting people, shaking hands, getting to know about us and our America First agenda. Like I said, I'm not a politician. I'm a patriot. I'm a veteran. I love my country. I fought for my country, and I will do everything I can to keep democracy and the Constitution alive in our country.
I love it. I love it. Mike, we need more of you up there in Washington, D.C. God bless you, and good luck out on the campaign trail.
All right. If I may get my website, is
sure.
It possible?
Go right ahead.
Okay. Listen, I can use the support of everybody out there. Go to www.mikeblaseyforcongress.com. Your support is necessary. We're fighting the establishment, and we are taking back our country, one district at a time.
All right. Mike, thanks a lot. Mike Blasey, everybody, running for New Jersey's 4th Congressional District. And we'll be bringing more candidates from all over America, highlighting them and their campaigns as we move along. Meanwhile, you people in Middle Tennessee, there is a huge war going on between MAGA world. So you've got Donald Trump endorsing a candidate. You've got the MAGA world endorsing a candidate. It's Robbie Starbucks, and you got Morgan Ortegas. And Trump has endorsed Ortegas. By the way, both of them, and Grace, I don't know how you feel about this. I will say this. I know a little bit about both of them, but here's the one concern I have. They've only been Tennesseans for like a couple of years.
That's a good point.
Why are people, you know, stay in your own state. Run for Congress there. Why come to another state?
Good point. No, that's a good point.
It just seems to me there are plenty of qualified Tennesseans who know the state, who've been here, they paid their dues, they're rock-solid conservatives. So why do we have a bunch of out-of-towners coming in?
I tend to agree with you. Maybe they just think it's an easy win in a red state like Tennessee. Instead of going to like California where they actually need it.
But you know what? And the same thing happened in Georgia. You folks know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about how did I just forget her name? She was the senator there. Loeffler. Kelly Loeffler.
Yes.
The only by the way, going back to identity politics, Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, wanted to appoint a female senator. That's all that mattered. Didn't seem to matter that she wasn't a conservative. You know, she was a rhino, and you know what? You get what you vote for.
Yep.
And it's a great big mess over there. And if the Republicans, if the governor of Georgia had not played identity politics, I think they would have been a lot better off, and they would have still had at least one Republican senator in Georgia.
Completely agree. And it could have been a female still, but you know, when you're laser focused on that, you're ruling out all these great candidates.
That's right. Kemp wasn't looking for the best person for the job. He was looking for a woman. That's who he was looking for.
Very unfortunate.
And you know what? There you go. Shame on you too.
Yep.
But that's exactly what's happening with Biden right now. As a matter of fact, I've got to read this, folks. This just came in from the White House pool. So they asked Biden what sort of a person he was looking for. What was he looking for in a nominee? Now, what would you think? What would you think Biden would say? You're nominating somebody to the Supreme Court. You would want somebody who knows the law. You want somebody who's going to call it like they see it. I mean, right? So he says, I'm looking for a candidate with character, with qualities of a judge in terms of being courteous. So he's looking for somebody who's nice. He says he wants his nominee to treat people with respect. Okay, that's not what the Supreme Court is about here, folks. It's not about feelings. It's about the law. We're screwed. That's all I can say. We got to stop it, folks. We've got to stop the Democrats at the midterms. Got to do it. All right, we're going to play some audio. We got to set this up. Whoopi Goldberg, I just want to get this out of the way right now. I believe, based on what Whoopi Goldberg said, that she's an anti-Semite. She's a Jew hater. All right? I wanted to get that out of the way just so we've got these guys that listen to us in their mother's basements, and they're probably in their 20s, early 30s. They've got the Cheeto-stained fingers, and all they do is report on us, and they report back to Media Matters and all these leftist kook organizations. So I wanted to get that out of the way first. This is Whoopi Goldberg yesterday on The View talking about Jews in America.
Well, also, if you're going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No.
It's not about
maybe
race.
It's about a different race.
But it's not about race. It's not about race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man.
It's about race.
That's what it's about.
But it's about white supremacy.
But these are two white groups of people.
Well, that was after black people.
They see them as white.
But you're missing the point. You're missing the point. The minute you turn it into race, it goes down this alley. Let's talk about it for what it is. It's how people treat each other. It's a problem. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, because black, white, Jews, everybody eats each other. So is it, if you're uncomfortable, if you hear about mouse, should you be worried? Should your child say, oh, my God, I wonder if that's me? No, that's not what they're going to say. They're going to say, I don't want to be like that.
Well, hopefully. I want to be cool.
Yeah.
And
most kids, they don't want to be cruel.
No, they don't. And we're living in an era where people are comparing vaccine cards to the yellow stars, where people are comparing vaccinations to what Anne Frank went through.
Yeah.
So it is necessary
for kids to learn about.
Man's inhumanity to man.
Well, there's a whole lot of ignorance in that, folks. A whole lot of ignorance. But it is The View, the Squawking Magpies. So last night, Whoopi Goldberg, after being roasted by just about everybody, went on Stephen Colbert's show to try and explain what she meant to say when she exposed herself for being the Jew hater. Let's take a listen.
Now, you made some news this morning.
Yes.
On The View.
Yes, I did.
When y'all were talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And would you care to follow up? Clarify what you said this morning?
I don't know.
Because it confused some people.
It upset a lot of people.
Yes.
Which was never, ever, ever, ever my intention. I thought we were having a discussion. Mm-hmm. Because I feel being black, when we talk about race, it's a very different thing to me. Mm-hmm. So I said that I felt that the Holocaust wasn't about race. And people got very, very, very angry and still are angry. I mean, I'm getting, you know, all of the mail from folks and mm-hmm. the very real anger because people feel very differently. But I thought it was a salient discussion because as a black person, I think of race as being something that I can see. So I see you and I know what race you are. And the discussion was about how I felt about that. I felt that it was really more about man's inhumanity to man and how horrible people can be to people. And we're seeing it manifest itself these days. But people were very angry and they said, no, we are a race. And I understand. I understand. I felt differently. I respect everything everyone is saying to me. And I you know, I don't want to fake apologize. You know, I'm very upset about that people are misunderstood what I was saying. And so because of it, they're saying that I'm anti-Semitic and that I'm denying the Holocaust and all these other things, which, you know, would never occur to me to do. I thought we were having a discussion about race, which everyone, I think, is having.
Now, let me be clear here. Had a Republican or a conservative television host said what Whoopi Goldberg said about the Jews and the Holocaust, they would have been called a Jew-hating Holocaust denier, and they would have been fired from their show. So what about you, people that run The View? What about you, ABC? So that made things worse last night. So then Whoopi had to come back on The View today and had this to say.
I said something that I feel a responsibility for not leaving unexamined because my words upset so many people, which was never my intention. And I understand why now. And for that, I am deeply, deeply grateful because the information I got was really helpful and helped me understand some different things. And while discussing how a Tennessee school board unanimously voted to remove a graphic novel about the Holocaust, I said that the Holocaust wasn't about race, and it was instead about man's inhumanity to man. But it is indeed about race, because Hitler and the Nazis considered Jews to be an inferior race. Now, words matter, and mine are no exception.
So there you have it. Once again, illustrating my point quite succinctly, that when the left, people like Whoopi Goldberg, when they're out there blasting conservatives or Trump for being anti-Jewish or being anti-this or anti-that, it is, in fact, the person making the accusation who is guilty of the charge. All right, we've got to take it. No, you know, I know I don't mind saying those kinds of things. Somebody's got to say it. I don't mind jumping in and saying what needs to be said. What do I get? I'm not beholden to a big corporation. I own the corporation. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Wrong here. let me explain this. I was getting some messages on the social medias. Todd, how are you okay? Are you sure it's okay for you to be talking about these issues like race? I mean, you're white. Is that okay? Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Nobody wants to talk about this, but it's the elephant in the room. But I'm happy to talk about it. And we need to talk about it. We have to. If we're going to get through all of this, we've got to address these big problems that are facing America. But the other side, they like to play the race cards. And you know what? I don't care. I'm not going to be silenced by these thugs. I'm just not. The reality is that Joe Biden and Dick Durbin and the Democrat Party have never repented of their racist past. Not once. Not once have they done that. They haven't. And back in the early 2000s, when Miguel Estrada was destroyed, and folks, I would just encourage you to Google, and Chip, Congressman Roy didn't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it on the air. But what they did to this man, a good and decent man, whose only crime was to be Latino. That was it. Democrats had to destroy him. And they destroyed his family. And it's a horrible, horrible thing that happened to him and his family. Wouldn't wish that on anybody, not even Dick Durbin. But this is where we are. So, yeah, I'm going to call him out. I'm going to call the Democrats out every single time they play that race card because I'm sick and tired of it. I live in the middle of a city, and unfortunately, many people in this city are afraid to speak out because they're afraid of being called a racist. I've been called every name under the book, folks. They can't, you know, I've been there, done that. So that's why I'm happy to fight these fights, not just here in Memphis, but all over America. We're willing to stand up and fight for you. Somebody's got to do it, and we're happy to take on that challenge every single day here. By the way, Newsmax reporting from our Liberty University studios, Johns Hopkins University researchers say all those lockdowns in the United States and Europe, turns out they had little to no impact in reducing China virus deaths. And remember what the woke evangelicals told us. If you love your neighbor, you'll stay inside your house. You won't go to church. That's what they told us. And it turned out, didn't matter a hill of beans. There you go. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Hey, newsletter coming out very shortly. Might want to go ahead and sign up over at toddstarns.com. Get out there. Have a great day and be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.